We're not appointed under wrath as the Lord's people. We've been saved from a lot of things. Now, not only have we been saved from our sins and an eternity in a hell and the lake of fire, not only have we been saved from ourself and the wicked way of the world and the way of Satan, but we've also been saved from the wrath of God and his judgment upon the earth. We've been saved from that, we believe. We know that the people of God may experience even very, very severe tribulation. The scripture bears that out. Hebrews chapter 10 comes to mind. Some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said regarding the prophets come to mind. Remember, John the Baptist was beheaded. And so there's been very, very serious things and grievous things that the children of God have experienced. But we will not go through the great tribulation of the Lord. The Lord does not judge the righteous, his people, with the wicked. The Lord does not do so. And so we're thankful for that. But yet in these things, we want to remember and be reminded that as John preached to the generation in his day, so we do so to the generation in our day. Flee the wrath to come. So those who are without Christ, may you see that and the necessity of it and flee the wrath to come. The only way you can flee, the only one to whom you can flee, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we point you to him, our great Savior, Judge, King, and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in chapter 12, we're dealing with an allegory. There's a time here, a break, so to speak, telling about, and the title I've given this allegory is Satan and the Victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's telling about. We see this woman in verse number 1, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and so on. On her head is a crown of 12 stars. This woman is representative, I believe, of Israel. She delivers a child, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another wonder in heaven that appears, John writes, and says there's this great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon those heads. And so he looks to wait there to consume the child that's delivered of the woman. But it says here in verse number 4, it says, with his tail he drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And we know that that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And there I think that we certainly have a mention and a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection and ascension, namely his ascension. And so we know this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from that we go back and we see about Israel, and we certainly see about Satan. What we want this afternoon is to consider a couple things about the devil or Satan, that old serpent, this one that's represented by this red dragon, and take a look at some other scriptures about him. In verse number 6, it says the woman fled into the wilderness and has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And best I can understand and tell about that, it's another 3.5 years or 42 months at hand. And that seemingly is talking about something future, okay? And it goes on to say here in verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So we see here that the dragon has angels, and that's part of the reason we believe that this verse number 4 tells about that the Satan, when he fell, when he transgressed against the Lord, a third of the angels were confederate with him, and he took them with him. And so Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So there's Michael, we consider him as maybe an archangel. That's one way that we refer to him. He is a leader amongst the angels, and he is there with those that he is in charge with, all doing the work and bidding of God. And they're fighting against the dragon or Satan, Lucifer, the devil, and those angels that have fallen with him. And listen what it says here. Let's read verse 7, 8, and 9. And consider about this. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, and so we want to just take a look at some scriptures, and hopefully we can gain some ground and not end up with more questions than we have now. Sometimes it's that way, but I think that it's necessary for us to consider the scriptures and to try to put things together. If it doesn't fit together or make sense, we pray that the Lord will just help us with understanding. That's what we need, and He's able to do that for us and has done so for us. And so we just want to take a look at this about Satan being cast out, cast down, and the reference of that, as long as my voice will hold up. Let me get a cough drop. So you pray that my voice will hold out as long as it needs to. Okay. In Luke chapter 10, let's go. I referred to this passage. I don't think that we've gone there and read it, but let's go here and read it. And just again, and so in this about Satan being in verse 4 of Revelation 12, the third part of the stars of heaven did cast them to the earth, okay? And then there's this warfare in verses 7, 8, and 9, and Satan and his angels do not prevail. Their place is not found anymore in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out. It goes on the latter part of verse number 9 and says, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, so there's this casting out of Satan, and we'd just like to try to get a handle and understanding about that. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples to do things, to preach the gospel, to have power, to do miracles and such as that, in the sending out of the 70 two by two. And so they come back, and in verse number 17 of chapter 10, Luke 10, 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Said, wow, this power that you gave us is really, really great. Even the devils are subject to us. They were really ecstatic about that. They were really happy about that, and maybe even kind of marveled at it. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so there was a time that Satan, or Lucifer, I believe that's one of his names, was there in heaven. And we're going to read some about that here this afternoon, Lord willing. And so, but there was a time that, and I think that Jesus is indeed referring to that time when Satan sought to rise up and said the five I wills that he's going to do. And the Lord, if you will, took him to task on that and cast him out. And what's he say? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so I think that we can certainly understand we're not talking about the atmosphere of the earth, the first heaven, or space that we know is out there where the planets are and such as that. But I believe certainly we understand this being over in that other realm, okay? There is that other realm, isn't there? Where the throne room of God is that we've been looking at, and then many, many things are going on there. It's not, we can have this, the pride of life can cause us to think that our existence is the only existence that there is. And I'm not talking about aliens on other planets. But there is that place where God is, and all the business of God is being done there too. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a will of God and a working of God and things going on that God is allowing there in that third heaven. And he says, Satan, that Jesus beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so there was a time there that Satan was in heaven, but then he fell. And where would he fall to? Well, he fell to the earth, okay? He fell to the earth. Okay, and so he tells here about other things. And he says here, let's read this, verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. And so spirits, okay, spirits. All right. There's the Holy Spirit of God. But there are these ministering spirits. We're going to read about that. Are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So this power that the Lord gave them, he said, that's not a great thing to rejoice about, but rejoice that you are the Lord's and that your name is written in heaven. And so we see there a casting out, okay, of Satan, and if you will, initially, okay? Now, I want us to go over here to Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. And try to lay this out as I understand it and convey it to you. And you know, these aren't great things that you haven't seen before, but maybe just haven't studied like this in this subject necessarily before. The question that I have is that Satan was not, it seemingly that Satan was not able to live in heaven anymore, and he was cast to the earth, and we know the scripture bears out that he's the prince and the power of the air. So this is a domain that's been given unto him. And here we have this in Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And so there's this time. There's this presenting by some of themselves before the Lord. And so he asks the question, who are they? The sons of God. Well, some might say, well, these would be some of the Lord's children upon the earth that were faithful unto him. And they are presenting themselves. Because it says sons of God. We who are saved, we are known as the sons of God, aren't we? Okay, but the thing is that if this would be of humans that would come about and present themselves before the Lord, the quandary that I have is this. If this being the case, then why was not Job there? If the sons of God, humans, are presenting themselves before the Lord, then why is Job not there? Why? Because here's what the Lord says about Job. Verse number 8 of chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Okay, man in of himself is not righteous. But this man, because of the salvation of the Lord upon him, and he is saved, and he is the Lord's son, he is a perfect and upright man, the Lord says. That doesn't mean that he's sinless, but he desires in every whit about him and in everything he pursues and does, he seeks to serve the Lord well. Oh, if it would be that the sons of God are referenced to men upon the earth faithful to the Lord and the sons of the Lord coming to present themselves before the Lord, if there's none more righteous and more perfect upon the earth at this time than Job, why isn't he there? Okay? Why isn't he there? Because he certainly is a son of God, isn't he? That there is none like him in the earth. So the Lord himself singled Job out about Job's faithfulness unto him and the blessing. It's a blessing of God upon him. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So seemingly here, it's not that there's the sons of God as a reference to men of the earth that are the children of God, but that this is a time and a mystery or a thing that's going on of where those who are princes of different things, the angels, and those beings that are there very much alive on that other side, that other domain, that operation that takes place in the third heaven and even extends itself into the earth, It seems that these sons of God are not so much sons as we think of ourselves being sons of God and being redeemed and adopted by the Lord. But these are the Lord's princes, if you will, that are bringing themselves before the Lord and giving account. Because what's happening? The prince in the power of the air is also able to come there. Okay, Satan. What's it say? And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So now, did this event take place upon the earth, or did it take place in heaven? I would venture that it takes place in heaven. Satan is not allowed to live in heaven anymore, but seemingly Satan has access to heaven. Okay? And so in time, we'll try to, this will hopefully come together, and we'll understand maybe some interconnection about it. And so a thing that is there, that there's a working, there's an authority, there's a hierarchy at hand over in those beings that are over there in eternity, even, if you will, or over there where the third heaven is. I don't know how to describe it, but not this realm that we see, but that realm over there where the Lord is and the operation of God is. Satan has been cast to the earth. He's not able to live there anymore, but seems that he has access there. We read in Daniel chapter 10 about some of this working, and I know I've read this passage many times and thinking about this, but this is just one of the things that I muse about and wonder about, and it's been given to us in the scriptures. And so let's read this again. In Daniel chapter 10, the Lord dealing with Daniel here, and Daniel being blessed of the Lord, and he is seeking the Lord's face about some things, and some visions are given to Daniel and explanation of things. And look at this in verse number 10. Daniel 10, 10. "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." Okay? This is when the other side has come and visited with one of the prophets of God, okay? One of the men of God. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for I am for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." What are those words? His prayer. Right? His seeking of the Lord, his petition to God to understand about the scriptures and understand about things at hand and understand more of the blessed word and knowledge and greatness of God, "and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words." Okay, so Daniel petitioned the Lord, and may we be encouraged about our own prayer. Okay? That these words that Daniel spake unto the Lord and sought the Lord's face in verse number 2 in this chapter says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." He was brokenhearted before the Lord and sought the face of God about these things. And from the beginning, when his words broke into heaven, there was action at hand from the Lord. Isn't that what he says? He says, "For the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God," verse 12, "thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Listen, "but on the other side over there, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days." Daniel praying upon the earth, the Lord sought to answer his prayer. Not that the Lord's trying to do anything. I don't mean it that way. But the Lord and his greatness and just the wonder of God and how he works, he sought to send this angel to Daniel. But this angel had trouble getting there. Because what's it say? "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days." Is that talking about the prince of this earth? No. A man would never have any power with one of the angels or ministering spirits of the Lord. But this would be, I believe, this would be a fallen angel that would be there working mischief with the king of Persia, working to thwart and working to mislead one of those spirits that we're warned against, that we need to try the spirits and see whether they be of God, withstood this angel and held him up for 3 weeks. Our existence in this whole creation and work of God is a great and mighty and wonderful thing. Does the reading of this scare you? Well, let it not make us fear, but let us be encouraged that we have got a God that has power and even uses other beings and other creatures for the benefits of his children. God sent the angel to minister the word to his son. You hear that? His adopted son, Daniel. And I tell you what, that's a blessing. And may this help us to get serious, maybe more serious than we have been, about this life and our calling in salvation and our calling in the church, that these are the great, we are involved and blessed to be touched by and involved in the great and mighty working of God. This is no sideline. This is no hobby, but this is God at work, and his work is great. This isn't a cartoon or a make-believe fairy tale or just an action movie for a couple hours. But this is real, and it's connected with eternity. And so he said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael. We saw about Michael in Revelation, didn't we? Michael, the reinforcements were sent in, weren't they? And who do you figure sent them in? Well, God did. It's under the directive of God, and Michael's been given a responsibility. He says, Michael, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, verse 14, I am come to make thee understand what shall be befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Seems like Michael is that angel. That angel that seems to have more authority, that seemingly may be the prince of Israel. See, and on that other side, responsibility and working given to the angels for the sake of the Lord's people, and in this case, the Lord's nation, because what is Daniel? He's a Jew. Yeah. And Michael came and helped that ministering angel that had a message. And he said, listen, nobody holds to these words but me, the one that's been sent, and Michael, your prince. Isn't that something? Isn't that interesting? So we lay that in there. In Hebrews chapter 1, and again, we don't worship angels, and don't be found worshiping angels. There's no... I'm of the opinion, you know, we're not to have any graven image. And Brother Mark mentioned about little fat angels with wings this morning. And that's not what angels are. When angels appear and we're able to see angels, they appear as men. Angels are not women. Okay? It's no slam on women. Just God didn't make angels women. Angels are referred to in the masculine, but angels don't have baby angels. They don't have children. They're created by God. And so, you know, consider about what the Lord, how the Lord would be pleased with decoration that you would have of angels or portraits of angels or figurines of angels. Is God pleased with that? Is that something that's real? Is it true? Is it jibe with the scriptures? Give consideration to it. Say, well, Brother Jim, it's just art and it's just there. Well, you know, we don't want to mislead anybody. You know, if I have a little figurine of a cherub, quote unquote, that might cause others who are weak in understanding to really think that about an angel? I mean, we got things propagated in our culture and amongst our generation about just little things that are floated through in the media and our entertainment and the ways that we go that causes thoughts about things. I mean, I remember as a child, I've mentioned this to you before, as seeing cartoons about Yosemite Sam dressed up like the devil with the red pitchfork going around and tormenting people, Bugs Bunny in hell. Well, yeah, that's a cartoon, but it's delving into those things that are spiritual, and Satan is not God's agent in hell tormenting sinners. So you see what I'm saying? But as a child, we can grow up to think, well, hell's just a playground for Satan. No, hell and the lake of fire has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It's God's place of torment. And see, just a little twist. So watch how it is about angels and how we might think and consider about them. In Hebrews chapter 1, a great chapter telling about what the Lord Jesus Christ has been ordained of God the Father to come and be a Savior for us. That Jesus came to be a man. To be a man of all, that God Almighty would come down and be a man. And so we read here, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the times past, verse number 1, unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the way that it was, okay? And it was well, and it was in his place, and it had a shadow, and it had a figure, and it had a little bit of opening up about those things that God would do. Hath in these last days, verse 2, spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Wow. Jesus was there when the God, Jesus spoke the world into existence. Isn't that what that says? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. When you see Jesus, Philip, have I been so long with you that you haven't known that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Amen. Right? Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding above all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, because he got the job done. Amen. Being made so much better than the angels. In chapter 2, verse number 7, the scripture says, but thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. Speaking of mankind, but ultimately in the fulfilling of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming and answering every command of God to mankind that God directed mankind to do, that we, mankind, has failed to do. Jesus, the man, got it done. Hear that? Everything that God said for man to do was not accomplished in Adam. Has been and will be accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man in Christ will be obedient. And he made him a little lower than the angels, as it says in Psalm 8, verse 5. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and to set him over the works of thy hands, put all things under subjection to his feet. And in verse number 9 of the same chapter, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. See, as an angel, he couldn't have been a suitable sacrifice for men. An angel understands nothing about what it is to be a man. An angel is created in a total different way, with a total different purpose and mission, and just is a different creation of God. Angels, if you will, from our understanding of them, they have one fault, one failing, and they're done. There's no mercy for angels. There's been mercy for us. Amen? We see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus, he came Verse number 4 of chapter 1, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And they have an excellent name. But the Lord came as a man. For unto which of the angels, verse 5, said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He never said that to the angels. He created the angels. But his only begotten son was born to him. Conceived by God Almighty and that virgin, that woman, Mary, who had never known a man. Born of God. Unto which the angel said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Capital S, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not so with the angels. And again, verse 6, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Not the angels be worshiped. How many times have we seen even in Revelation where John would seek to fall at the feet of an elder, at the feet of an angel, and he says, see, thou do it not. I am of thy fellow servants and ministers or of the prophets or whatever. Said, don't worship me. Worship God. Worship the Son. Amen? He says, let all the angels of God worship him. He was made a little lower than the angels, came as a man, but obeyed the Lord. And because of coming lower and coming as a man and obeying God, he is promoted by the Father. Again, and when the bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels saith he, verse 7, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Okay, that's the purpose of the angels. Their spirits and their ministers and his ministers, a flame of fire. They've got great capability, but they're there doing the ministry and work of God. But of the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. There's none that stands above the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shall thou fold them up. Thou shalt be And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years fail not, thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Not one, ever. Because angels have their place. Angels have their purpose of God and their use of God. But the Son became a man, not an angel, nor was an angel chosen to be the Savior, but God himself begot his only Son, and he became a Savior and is preeminent over all. Verse number 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation? Yeah, that's their work. So see, when Lucifer wanted to rise up to what he wanted to do, he failed in that, didn't he? I submit to you that even the working of God and the saving and calling of sinners, of his people, unto salvation, that the angels being created greater than man, more stronger and more powerful and more able than mankind, that there's an element there that just galled Satan and his angels. The working of God of salvation for mankind just galls them. They don't want any part of it. But those angels that are faithful, Michael, Gabriel, they're all about ministering to the people of God, aren't they? They want it. They pursue it. They do it. They follow their God and King, their Creator, with perfection because of the blessing and touch of the Lord, of course, because they're created too. But they are there and they are used of God to take care of us. See, this is not a hobby with God. There are great things at work on our behalf. Oh, what a wondrous thing it is. And so we see this clarity here about the angels. And then let's read in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we'll pick it up in verse number 12, and we read this. Isaiah 14, 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That's not what God's plan and purpose and work is for any other to rise above Him, is it? No. He is to be praised. He is to be worshiped. He is to be glorified. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now think about the bottomless pit. Think about hell and the lake of fire having enlarged themselves. "They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and shall consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" Now we'll be looking at things that Satan will be looking to do and working in the Revelation as we go further. "That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners." That speaks to a people given to Satan. See, Satan can't create anything. Be careful to give the attributes of God that are God's alone to Satan's. To Satan. Who is the creator? It's God Almighty. Can Satan create one life, one soul? No. He cannot create one at all. It says he opened not the house of his prisoners. But has Jesus, has the Lord opened the house of his prisoners? Has he not led captivity captive and gave gifts to men? See, it's as if when Satan rose up in this way, that God said, well, not here. You won't do it here. But how about you just go to the earth and you want to be like me? Here's your opportunity to be like me. Oh, you can't create a people? All right, I'll give you a people. I'll give you a people. I wonder about that. And that's just a supposition on my part and what I think I see in the scriptures. Verse 18, "All the kings of the nations shall, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art," see, every ruler has his place, every leader, every king. "But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot." That's the way Lucifer is. "Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial." Listen to this. "Because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people." Seemingly, Satan has been given authority over the earth, and anybody that has been created, anything that's been created by the Lord has been created to his honor and his glory and his praise. Right? And that the reason God creates? But Satan says, no, I'm going to do it my way. And God's infinite wisdom and working and eternal plan, he allows Satan to do it. And seemingly he has cast him to the earth. Remember what Satan said to Jesus when he tempted him. "All these kingdoms are mine, and I can give them to whoever I want to." And what has Satan done? He has pursued his own way. Not the way of glorifying and praising God, but he has sought his own way. "Because thou hast destroyed thy land, the prince and the power of the air, and slain thy people." He will never bring salvation to the goats, will he? Won't do it. The goats are not the Lord's, are they? Because all there is sheep and goats. That's just the way it is. That's what the Bible and the Scripture bears out. And Satan's got the goats. And he does nothing to deliver them ever, does he? But praise be to God that delivers his sheep. Amen. Praise be to the Lord. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, not even a burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. Listen, here is the principle. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Note it. If you purpose to be an evildoer, you will never be renowned. And then in Ezekiel chapter 28, in Ezekiel chapter 28, we see this also written it backs up, it parallels some of what we just read there. Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel 28. A dual prophecy, not only concerning the prince of Tyrus, but breaks away from that and is descriptive of Satan. In chapter 11 of Ezekiel 28, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up thy lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This is the reason that I wonder if Satan, Lucifer, wasn't created initially to even be a part of the throne of God. I wonder about that. Listen to what it says. Thou wast perfect in thy ways, verse 15, from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. And we take a look about the throne of God as we find in Ezekiel and as in Isaiah and what John, even some of what John sees, if I remember correctly, maybe even some of what Zechariah is blessed to see, what Daniel is blessed to see. And that makes me wonder about this reference to him being a covering cherub. Thine heart, verse 17, was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitudes of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. Remember the reference in Isaiah 14? Is this the man? God will bring Satan so low he will bring him, that the inhabitants of the earth will look upon him. Mankind will look upon him and say, is this the one that troubled everybody so? Because God will so utterly destroy him. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, latter part of verse 18, in the sight of all them that behold thee. Verse 19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. He will utterly destroy him. And so there's a casting down of Satan, if you will, at the end. Okay, and we're not going to have enough time to get all this together. Back in Revelation 9. Revelation 12, verse number 9. We're in this allegory. We've taken a look about angels, and we've taken a look about how the Lord, what the purpose the Lord has for creating them and such as that. In verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Okay. Now this is after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 5, right? We want to read one verse and we'll close for this afternoon. John chapter 12. Satan had a place seemingly in heaven there before the Lord, created by the Lord, the most beautiful angel that was created, seemingly having a special purpose, seemingly maybe even being chief over all the angels. I mean, we suppose that, but seemingly there was an exceptional place for him. And he transgressed. And the Lord Jesus said he saw him cast, or saw him fall from heaven like lightning, cast to the earth. We know him referenced as the prince and the power of the air. We seem to see in Job that he has access to heaven, but no longer lives there anymore. He lives in this earth. The Lord asked him what he'd been doing. He said, I've been going up and down, to and fro in the earth. Okay, but he seems to have access. We're going to read in Revelation later in this chapter that the accuser of our brethren are cast down. And so here's what I'm wondering. What I'm wondering is that has there been or will there be a time that even the access that Satan has to heaven is going to be cut off? Because things are coming to an end. And the reason that he is able to be cast down in the first place is because of what Jesus Christ has done. Okay? Not only did Jesus Christ come and give himself a ransom for his people to pay for our sins, but remember what it says in 1 John that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? And let's close with this verse here in John chapter 12. The Lord Jesus here with his disciples, and he's back at Bethany after having raised Lazarus from the dead. And he's there. These Greeks want to come and talk to him. But the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be focused on the crucifixion, the giving of himself for his people. And verse number 30, and Jesus answered and said, John 12:30, this voice came not because of me, the Father speaking from heaven about he has glorified it and he will glorify his name again in Christ. This voice came not because of me for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. My question is cast out from where? We know ultimately that Satan's going to be cast even from the earth, isn't he? To the lake of fire. And so there's been this casting of Satan from heaven. Jesus here making a promise that now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And so maybe is that a reference to his access to heaven? And other things that we're going to see in this chapter that we're in. And then ultimately from the earth, even Satan will be cast to the lake of fire, as we saw some about over there in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. May the Lord help us with understanding. May we understand about this casting out of Satan. Satan is a... How would we say that? He is a foe to be noted. He is way more powerful than we. Amen? But our God deals with him at his word. It'll be just an angel. I say that. There's references to strong angels in the scripture, but it'll be just an angel that'll come and bind Satan with a chain and cast him in the bottomless pit. We've got a great God. And may we praise him for his greatness. May we praise him because he's God and there's none other beside him. And we have a tendency, and well, we should, that we praise the Lord and we thank him for all that he does for us. But we, well, should praise God just because he's God. Because he's great and he's greatly to be praised. Amen. And even Satan, this great, powerful angel, is under the control of God. Oh, we've been saved from the wrath to come. Our great God is going to work marvelous and wondrous things. Praise be to his name for saving us and making us a part of it. For you that are here and not saved, oh, flee the wrath to come. Flee the wrath to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed a resting place. He is that cleft in the rock. He is that deliverer from all things that we do understand and that we don't even know about. He is the Savior.